Welcome back, listeners, to BGM Do Radio. This is your host, Dave Whitehorn, with my son, Sean.
And good morning, everybody.
And look forward to spending the next 40 minutes with all of you, recapping our guest that we had last year with Mona Dixon. I'd like to say that this is going to be an interesting journey as we move on. Today, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be taking a look at all of the wonderful guests that we had over the year. And I wanted to do a shout out to Dave Pratt and his team, Robin Cote and Ed Vanderlee and Rob Trigg of Star Worldwide Networks. They got a wonderful organization up there on the sixth floor, like I had mentioned, up there at 6900 East Camelback. And they really helped us provide the foundation for what the work that we're going to be doing here going forward. So a big shout out to them, and certainly would give them highest recommendations if you're looking to do a really professional top shelf podcast. So let's do what we said we were going to do, and that is let's go into a deep dive on the people that visited us in the past and shared their brilliance and why they absolutely loved what they were doing. And last year we had, on February 20th, 2018, Mona Dixon. Sean, would you like to share a little bit about who Mona is so that our listeners know who we're talking about?
Sure. So I have Mona Dixon's bio right here. Okay. So it says, up until 13 years old, Mona Dixon and her family lived on the streets and moved from one homeless shelter to another. However, despite her humble beginnings, Mona believes in turning setbacks in life into motivators to succeed and uses her story to inspire others. In 2010, Mona was named Boys and Girls Club of America's 64th National Youth of the Year, where she represented over 4 million youth all over the world. She met with President Obama in the Oval Office at 17 and was later appointed by him to serve on the board of directors for the Corporation for National and Community Service. At 18, Mona was also named one of 28 most influential black women in America by Essence Magazine. I know you've heard of Essence Magazine. This has all led to her sharing the stage with very influential celebrities and being featured in the media. And it says now at just 25 years old, but this was a year ago, Mona's pursuing her doctoral degree in organizational leadership. Furthermore, to continue to fulfill her calling and her life's purpose, Mona is a teen empowerment leader, speaker, and coach. And it's my understanding that right now she's actually on the tour right now with the Teen Boss Tour, inspiring teens to be their better selves all across America.
Yeah. I mean, really fascinating, very inspirational. She is the keynote speaker at several different locations here in the United States. And she's going to be talking about homelessness and as well as inspiring the youth and whatever they want to do in terms of developing and growing their dreams. So they couldn't really have a better person. And she's just a year away from getting her PhD, if you can imagine that.
And just so much energy, too.
Yeah. Just really contagious. So thanks so much for that, Sean. So let's talk a little bit about what Mona said in her podcast. And by the way, these podcasts will be reposted here in the near future on our website. So stay tuned for that, where you can listen to those podcasts in its entirety. So one of the things that Mona shared with us, Sean, was how important it was really to believe in ourselves.
Definitely.
You know, and so with that belief, she talked about having the right mindset and using rituals and developing daily habits that would keep us in our game. So what are your thoughts around that, Sean?
Well, I mean, it's so powerful to just think positive. And if you don't have the right mindset, then, you know, you're going to be limiting yourself and how far that you can dream. And, you need to really believe in yourself. And I think there's a lot of truth in what she's saying. Definitely.
Well, you're absolutely right, Sean. I guess a couple of things. One, some of the rituals that she did is that, you know, she would always have these affirmations.
Mm-hmm.
And the affirmations that she would say every morning when she would get up would just reinforce the things that she wants to accomplish in the day.
Eating the right foods, making sure she's in the right place mentally.
Yeah, mentally and physically, I guess, mm-hmm. because of the foods that you mentioned. And all of these turn into habits, right? So it's not that you just do them ever so often, but these are daily occurrences.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, these different kinds of activities would, you know, basically what you're doing is you're reprogramming yourself to some extent,
mm-hmm.
right? And there's some hard science behind how that all happens. But it doesn't happen by itself. You just can't sit back and just kind of hole and hum and, you know, twiddle your thumbs and say, geez, you know, geez, I wish upon a star, you know, mm-hmm. and rub the magic lamp, so to speak, and have things just happen. You got to do something, right?
Definitely.
And then with that comes a certain level of momentum and reinforcement. There was a movie that came out some years ago called The Law of Attraction. I don't know if you saw that, Sean. But really, it was really what happens when you are in that right space of, you know, being very positive. That doesn't mean Pollyannish, by the way, Sean. It doesn't mean like you're, you know, everything's beautiful and there's, you know, there's a pragmatic side to that as well.
Mm-hmm.
But you have a very realistic and yet inspired vision of the world, of yourself, and how you fit into that world. And when you're in that space, then things will come your way. And the right things will come your way.
Mm-hmm.
And the other things that come that won't serve you will be repelled.
Sort of like putting it out there, putting the energy out
absolutely.
There.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Then, receiving, basically giving and receiving, getting what you put into it.
Right. So it's easy for us to say ritual, habits, affirmations. So what is an affirmation?
Positive thinking.
Positive thinking, mm-hmm. but it's actually verbally stated.
Okay.
Right. So if any, you know, for those of you that are plugged in right now, you know, I'd ask all of you, you know, what affirmations, if any, do you use? And the other thing I would suggest is, you know, let's say something right now. I am, and then just complete that sentence. The only thing I'm going to stipulate is, make sure that however you complete that, that it's a positive statement.
Definitely.
So let's just do the homework right now. I am. So Sean, what would that be? I am. And just fill in the blanks.
I am.
Dance with me on this.
Smart enough.
Okay.
It makes me think of the Saturday Night Live.
Yeah. instead of saying smart enough, because enough just seems just as like barely enough.
Okay.
How would you feel just saying I'm smart?
I am smart.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I'm just going to add, so we're going to throw out a few other adjectives here, right? I am smart, right? I am attractive,
mm-hmm.
okay? And knowledgeable. And just simply say that.
Yeah.
Just repeat that.
I am smart. I'm attractive. I'm knowledgeable.
And I control my future.
And I control my future. There it is.
So there it is. So I'd like to challenge everyone else who's on the who's out there to take a second and write down your affirmations. And feel free to share them. Sean, do you have your phone right there?
I do.
Why don't you just pull up the Facebook Live? For some reason, the Facebook Live isn't coming out on my computer, and maybe that's because I'm an administrator. Okay. We're learning all of this, guys, so not only are we sideways.
It's live.
It's live.
Yeah, right? I'm looking at myself. Yeah, okay. Looking at myself.
Okay. Can you get down to the comment section there? Yeah.
Nothing.
Okay. All right. Really good. All right.
Let's leave it there.
Yeah. Excellent. So one of the other things that she shared was, why don't you carry this? Why don't you share the second one with everybody?
To be resourceful.
Uh-huh.
And she spoke about her connections with ASU.
And Arizona State University.
Yeah, Arizona State University.
Right.
Just people. And it has a lot to do with, you know, giving love into the world and making connections with people. And,
yeah.
And valuing people and, you know, the relationships that you grow, I think there's a lot to be, you know, said for building strong relationships, and then you have the ability to be resourceful when you need help. There are people there to help you, and people that want to help you.
Yeah. It's kind of like surrounding yourself with the right people who are equally positive on certain things as well.
Mm-hmm.
What did she think about reading? What role did that play in her development?
So reading, she said that she's always reading. Uh-huh. And she loved the business and the sort of entrepreneur books, wasn't it? The ones that, you know, overcoming and accomplishing so much.
Yeah, very, very inspirational.
Mm-hmm.
One of the other things that she highlighted as being very important is volunteering. Now, I know we all want to make a living, but, and then what I'm saying is, I guess, earning some sort of an income around this. But working in the service of others is really what's operative.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do that, and if you do that really well, then the money's going to come.
Yeah.
Obviously, you're going to want to choose something you're very passionate about. So when the money comes, you have this kind of feeling. I can't believe they're paying me.
Yeah.
Right? You know, you're doing what you already love, and now you're getting compensation for it, right?
Yeah.
And then when that happens, that's fine. And when that happens, that there is, there's the sense of, wonderment, right? That I can't believe I'm getting compensated for something I love to do so much.
It's a double win.
Yeah.
It's a double win. You find something you're really, really passionate about. I mean, let's say you like making cookies, you like baking, and then you love eating it, and you love making the cookies, and then someone starts paying you so you can make these cookies, and you have a surplus of these cookies that you love so much, and then you're always, and you have the resources and the time and the money, you're able to just, bake and get creative and have fun with it all day long.
Yeah, so I can't help myself, Sean, when you use the metaphor of cookies, because after a period of time, so I love it because, after a period of time, actually, just from the very beginning, you're going to be rolling in the dough.
There you go.
Yeah, so I couldn't help myself. I just couldn't help myself with that.
Definitely.
Yeah. So the other thing is that even after the money starts coming in, we can't stop this mindset of being in service of others.
Of others. Right?
Mm-hmm. And it's that mindset, that servant leadership type of approach that makes the difference. Like, we can never really do enough for people.
And that's what she's doing. She's out there inspiring the youth, our future. And she loves it.
And she loves it, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, another thing that she brought up is that was journaling. What's that about, Sean?
So she was saying it's important to reflect and look back and share your thoughts to yourself.
Uh-huh.
So I think it's sort of finding a balance, an inner balance within yourself to reflect and using the journals to reflect and, take a step back and look. Because I'm sure, every day you're out there and you're pushing and you're fighting and you're doing everything that you could possibly do to take a step forward towards your dream.
Mm-hmm.
That, of course, we have everyday obstacles that are going to be taking your thoughts elsewhere, taking all these other influences. And so in the power in the journal, mm-hmm, is, it's like, well, what did I start the day wanting to do?
Yeah.
What did I want to accomplish? What did I accomplish today?
Yeah.
And then you can also reflect on the journal and you can say, well, what did I want to do yesterday? And you can even look back and just think about different thoughts and really get to know yourself better. That's what I took from the journal.
Yeah, I think that's pretty powerful because, so many times we don't realize all the things that we're doing. And sometimes we're our own worst critics.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't give ourselves credit or at least acknowledgement of the work that we've done, the achievements that we've made, or progress on anything that we're working on.
Definitely.
So that journaling, the actual act of taking your pen and writing it down,
mm-hmm,
for immediate and for future reference,
yeah,
is powerful. And imagine yourself being able to take a look at a collection of these journaled statements, right? Thoughts over a period of time. And then taking a look and seeing how things evolve and how you evolve personally.
Yeah, I've never had a journal myself, but I have always been interested in different forms of art, and that involved writing and and creating music or whatever. Nothing I ever made a living out of.
Yeah.
But you can definitely see the influences throughout the time. That's what's so powerful about music is and art in general is because it represents a time. I mean, there's music out there that I don't necessarily like, but I associate it with that time of my life. And to me, it means something because of that.
Right.
It's like, well, you know, it was a club song that was hot during my college days and whatever. It's like, that's college music. That was, and I think that's what's powerful about the journal. It's a moment in time, and you can't take that away.
Yeah, and there's some energy connected with that moment too.
Definitely.
Right? Yeah. So another thing that she was saying is that it's all of these things are great, but to take it to another level, when you have these dreams or these aspirations, and again, these aren't whimsical dreams. These are dreams that may be big, but there is a concrete way of getting there.
Mm-hmm.
At least some sort of a roadmap, that those dreams need to be animated, right?
Hmm.
In other words, they actually need to be displayed. And you're able to see them visually or contextually. It might be music might be the medium to help spark that dream.
Mm-hmm.
But what she was saying was that really vividly displaying that dream each and every day. So if you take that, right, the belief in yourself, the right mindset, being curious, reading and networking with others, being in the service of others, writing your thoughts down, and then bringing your dream to life and looking at things each and every day. You can see how that starts to reinforce this notion of daily habits and actually bringing your dream to life.
Yeah, So I don't entirely remember what her dream board was like. Was it a collage or
anything? Yeah, actually, yeah. She said it was a collage. And,
right?
she actually does storyboard workshops.
Okay.
And there's some hard science out there that reinforces the power of storyboarding or dream boarding, as she called it, right? And it's basically, again, the notion of reprogramming ourselves. You know, as soon as we think we can't do something, for sure we can't, right? It's got to start with, I can, right?
Definitely.
That doesn't mean that you don't have a realistic idea of what you have to go through to get there, but you have to start with that can-do attitude, right?
Definitely.
Because, you know, if you say you can't, it's going to be really hard to get any movement, right?
Yep.
So that's what we're talking about. What else did she have to say?
Well, I'm still thinking about the dream board a little bit. What else could you do to have a type of dream board? To have like something that symbolizes, if you're not going to be going through the act of actually making a dream board, what else could you look at that symbolizes that dream, that goal? That, I mean, maybe a dream board could be like you have an autographed basketball hanging on your top shelf,
right?
Because you want to be a basketball player and you don't have to add anything to it because that can symbolize that's your dream board. People who don't want to go through the effort of, or you know, understand the benefit, you know, the benefits of having a dream board, if they can just have something that symbolizes their dream board.
Yeah, that's powerful. To be clear, the collage that Mona had shared with us had a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm.
It represented the activities that she was involved in, the people's, the lives she was touching, as well as some of the benefits, right, as a result of her success. So I believe travel was involved. I believe,
awesome.
I think she's very passionate about travel, right? So,
yeah.
So so I share that passion with her. So I picture
definitely
a picture of your mom and me, Yeah, you too, I guess, and your siblings and our grandchildren and all that. Maybe in Hawaii all together. Would be something that we'd be striving towards, right? To do something.
I'd be interested in doing that.
or something like that. Or, you know, it could be at Mom and me at Angkor Wat, you know. Mm-hmm. I've always wanted to go to Cambodia or to Machu Picchu, nice. You know, some of those areas. So, but the other thing is that, and again, bringing in the servant attitude, like, who are we serving, right?
Definitely.
You know, so what that looks like. But I really like what you're saying. One single key thing that kind of sums it all. And if that works for you, then why not?
Yeah, because I think maybe, you know, maybe some people might not want to make a collage. But yeah. I think that there is definitely motivation behind the collage.
Right.
Definitely, I can see the motivation behind the collage. I'm just trying to reach out to the people who might not want to make one. Try to focus on something that could be their collage, their dream board.
Well, one of the other things that Mona shared with us was really important to say no.
Yep.
And that means no to the things that don't serve you.
Mm-hmm.
Could be even understanding, really, even though there might be a plethora of things that come your way, really better identifying the things that that you prioritize as more important and then focusing on those. I certainly know that I've gotten myself involved in doing just way too much and not doing, you know, not going deep enough in certain things. So mm-hmm. I certainly understand the value of that.
And that can be tough because, you know, there's obstacles out there. There's mm-hmm. there's going to be offers that you just need to learn how to navigate through your life.
Right.
Correctly. That can be very difficult.
Yeah, absolutely. And now how do you say no, right? How do you do that? You know, sometimes it's very difficult. So I know some people who have this default of saying yes to everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yes, I'll be there. Yes, I'll do this. And then it doesn't happen, right?
Yep.
It's just a default. And I have to say that I've played in that space just a little bit.
There's something to gain from it. And, you know, you can find new experiences. But there is also a lot to gain from the power of saying no, definitely. To have that,
uh-huh.
it gives you a certain strength. Just say, no, I can't.
I mean, we can't boil the ocean, right? So the idea is really just cutting out your place on the beach, I guess, using the ocean metaphor, right?
Mm-hmm.
Staking that out and then focusing on that, which is a word that comes up a little bit later. But I'm just, you know, so I think what would help me is, geez, I'd really, you know, some language there that would help me better enable me to say no. So people say, you know, Dave, we'd like you to go do this and whatnot. Would you be interested? And said, you know, that would be really great. I understand, and I'm honored that you've even come to ask me to help out in that area. How would you feel if I made I referred you to somebody else who I think probably is more available right now
mm-hmm.
To assist you with what you're doing here? How would you feel about that?
Yeah,
and you know, just kind of move on. So it's not just a no and move on.
Yeah.
Kind of a thing.
It doesn't have to be a harsh no.
It doesn't have to be a harsh no, right? So a lot of times the work that we do, you go back to what you'd said about the network and that Mona had shared with us,
mm-hmm.
that we share people, right? We share people from in the network coming from a place of abundance, but really having that discipline to focus on things that align with our dream board, whatever we have on that,
mm-hmm.
right? Or the one thing, like you were mentioning, that would lead to that basketball or to that signed baseball or to that signed football or soccer ball or whatever, right?
I mean, definitely the no is, even though no is negative,
yeah,
it's out of positive reasoning.
Yeah,
it's like it's no because of reason why, because
mm-hmm.
of
mm-hmm.
because yes to something else,
mm-hmm.
weighing out your opportunities and I think it's a win-win usually for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you're in a situation where you say no and everybody else isn't thinking about saying no, and they're like, you know what, you said no, I'm gonna say no too.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's best that we say no.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm. The other thing is she talks about working hard and playing hard. And we've heard this a lot.
Yeah, right? It's a very common thing.
Yeah.
Theme. It's but it's true.
I mean, if you're going to work, you work, you focus, you get things done, and but then celebrate. Make time to celebrate.
You got to know how to celebrate. There's I mean, be safe, but there's you have to be able to relax also and take time for yourself and however you celebrate.
So, I mean, how, you know, on this work hard, play hard, how do you do that when, you know, you're not making a whole lot of money?
Well, the working hard is going to be in there because you're trying to make more money, I would think. You're working hard. You're
no
doing
problem
everything.
With that.
Yeah, that one's the easy one.
Yeah.
But the playing hard, I mean, it's going to be something, maybe sports, maybe running, maybe, you know, it doesn't have to be something that costs money.
Right.
So you just, you know, I love playing soccer, so I make sure that I play soccer every week, and it's a competition. So you go out there and you compete and you play, and you get to, you know, release whatever.
Right.
You get out there and you just play hard.
Yeah.
You know, you work all week long and you're doing these things, and then you just take that time out of your life to do something that sort of releases.
Yeah.
Whatever.
So it doesn't have to be something where you're spending a lot of money or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's just in doing something that you really enjoy.
And to balance your life between your, you know, work and your happiness.
The next word, which kind of is related to all of these things, is in terms of learning to say no, is focus.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Mona said, make sure the main thing remains the main thing.
Yep. I don't remember which rapper said that. She said it was a rapper. The main thing, make sure the main thing remains the main thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and but, you know, it's interesting. That doesn't mean that we don't have the right and the ability to choose the main thing, right? Mm-hmm. But whatever, I mean, we always reserve the right to change. But that all the idea is that all of our actions are aligned with whatever that main thing is.
Yeah, if you're trying to really achieve something, you need to focus on that one thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you're trying to accomplish it, there's going to be a lot of obstacles. There's going to be a lot of distractions. Right. This goes down to the no. This goes down to the work hard. It comes to their themes.
Yeah.
Being resourceful, but staying focused on your end game, on your goal. Definitely a great idea she has there.
So what distractions would come up? I mean, what knocks you off the ball, Sean?
Well, it could be, you know, it could be different opportunities.
Uh-huh.
So, like, and you have that right to change your direction or whatever.
Right.
But if you're really trying to accomplish that one thing, it's like, you need to weigh that out.
Right.
And make that decision.
Yeah, I guess, I think it's important to pause here just for a moment. I saw something on LinkedIn yesterday that talked about, you know, how people are unhappy in their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a man who had gone to a class reunion, I think after 15 years. He had gone to Harvard.
Wow.
And he was literally overwhelmed with how many people were unhappy in the work that they were doing. And these were people that were making a lot of money, right?
Wow.
And in big positions, obviously, been successful in leveraging their Harvard degree. And one of the comments was that this lady made a comment saying that people are addicted to hearing what sounds good. In other words, oh, you are the, and then fill in the blank. And you've got this prestigious position at this prestigious company.
Okay.
You know, but you're working 60, 70 hours a week, right? Yeah. Yeah, you're making good money, but by the way, you're aware of some of the ethical issues behind the scenes that are going on. And,
definitely, yeah.
And so on and so forth, right? And those things just kind of eat at people. But, you know, people are flattered, right? And you want to, when they offer you certain jobs that are in that kind of area, and we don't stop and think, beyond the money or beyond the, you know, the bling bling, I guess, in the job world, right? In the mm-hmm. career world, you know, oh, I want to work at Google. I want to work at Microsoft. I want to work at, you know, fill in the blank, right?
Think it's, you know, their head was in the direction of making money and building a foundation for themselves. Mm-hmm. But then, yeah, it comes down to values. It comes down to
right.
what is accomplishment? What is,
mm-hmm.
What is it that you like to do and accomplish in life?
Yeah.
So I think it's a common, and then they have that moment to grow, mm-hmm. you know, that's where they can switch gears. Or, and if they don't, then they're just going to continue in the same direction.
Mm-hmm. So I guess the message here on focusing is making sure that you check in with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that you're focusing on the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not here to dictate what that is. We're not here to make a moral judgment. It's whatever that right thing is.
Mm-hmm.
And to align around that. And you know, what do you really enjoy doing or being a part of? And how you can be relevant, impactful in the work that you do.
And then also to take note that many people have found great happiness in their service of others.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That they found that as the most rewarding.
And that's not to say that there's nothing wrong with, you know, doing a job that you may not be totally passionate about, but it provides you with an opportunity, a lifestyle, and I'm talking, when I say lifestyle, I'm not talking just financial, but it also provides you perhaps the time. So some jobs, you know, you can do and still make relatively good money that's like an eight-hour day.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had people that we interviewed who said, that enabled me to do other things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like the lady with the Girl Scouts, right?
Definitely.
So, you know, so... and we also had the president from Kiwanis Club of Tempe, right? These were people who had good careers and they were able to do other things, but they were able to do things in the community through those organizations, which
definitely
really helped provide them with a fulfilled life,
mm-hmm.
right? So the other thing Mona mentioned was laughing.
Yeah. It's great.
What's you that gotta... about, Sean?
So... She said, what did she say? She says, smiles and laughter are contagious and can lighten even the most stressful situations. Mm-hmm. And I think that goes back to affirmation. Mm. It goes back to playing hard. Mm. It goes back to, I mean, it's just universal. I mean, kids know this stuff.
Yeah.
We can't forget that. And we get all caught up in the grind and trying to accomplish and all these things. But you got to laugh. And I think that's why... comedic films, there's such a market for it. There's so much out there for it, but even that becomes a business. Everything becomes a business, and you have to learn how to laugh. You have to learn how to make light of heavy situations, to not get too overly emotional, mm-hmm. to keep a cool head, to have fun, to be happy, to enjoy life.
The other thing is that in addition to relieving stress, I think the role of laughter is I mean, not to take ourselves too seriously.
Definitely.
You know, sometimes when something goes really well, so everything, you're on a roll and everything's, you know, keeps moving, you know, it can get to our head sometimes a little bit, right?
Yeah.
And right when that happens is when, you know, sometimes bad things can happen, right? You think too much of yourself. So... and that gets in the way of you connecting with others and whatnot. So this whole idea of laughing is, you know, keep things in perspective.
Yeah.
Also helps connect with other people.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you're not laughing at them, right? Or in the sense of making fun of them. It really just, the laughter is contagious, and being able to be vulnerable and share that moment in a comical way is certainly, when appropriate, is very, very, very powerful.
It makes everything. I mean, when I'm thinking about work and laughter, I think about, you know, the job you have is basically your life.
Mm-hmm.
And that is where you are most of your time in your life. So you have to find the joy in your work, at your work life, with the people that you work with. You have to be able to have fun and laugh. Yes. And then also, that's just day to day. But it's like, what if you come to work and whatever position you have, it's just crazy busy. That the supply and demand, the industry you're in, there's a huge demand, and you guys have to work a lot, really hard, right then and there. You can cry. You can cry about it.
Yeah.
Or you can kind of just laugh at the situation a little bit and get to work.
Right.
Because you got to work, and you can only do whatever you can do.
Mm-hmm.
And work, accomplish as much as you can accomplish in that moment. We can only do so much, but you can have that outlook. You can have that cool head on the situation and perform, continue to perform.
And the other thing is that she said is that we need to be humble, which ties in with, not letting ourselves think too much of ourselves, I guess. Mm-hmm. And remember our beginnings.
Mm-hmm.
Where did we start?
I think this ties in with her journal.
Yeah.
And it's like, reflecting upon yourself and to not forgetting where you're from, who has helped you along the way, the things. Because if you have such great dreams and you want to accomplish so much, you might find yourself in a totally different lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've accomplished so much. You're living a dream life. You're living in a different world. And to look at yourself, to be humble enough to acknowledge who you were before, and just be real.
Yeah.
You know, not forget what is. I mean, there's nothing's changed. You're just in a different place in life, and you can't forget that.
I think with humility also comes this notion of recognizing others.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Being appreciative of others.
Definitely.
Knowing that in your heart of hearts, you're not the smartest man in the room.
Yeah.
If you really are holistically intelligent, you're going to realize that it's the others around you collectively that provide that
foundation.
That intelligence, the combination, and that we're just a small, a small contribution in this, universe of ideas and thoughts and actions and service, and that with the work that we do, that it's just another part of the puzzle, and grounding ourselves in where we came from. Really, really helps with that.
And every piece is just as important.
Right. And man, I'll tell you, I mean, there were times where, I certainly have lost myself in certain moments and situations. And the only way to really get regrounded is to go back.
Mm-hmm.
And also, there's this notion of really being grateful for wherever you are and whatever you're doing and the things that are around you, that surround you, really, really help ground us in whatever we're doing.
And I think the best managers also acknowledge that.
Yeah, absolutely, for sure. So why are we talking about all this?
Well, we had a great, amazing guest, and we were. She had amazing ideas concepts that we were just touching back on.
Yeah. And the idea is really to help people understand some concrete things that we can do to better understand who we are, to be ourselves, to dream big, and then to actually put a plan in place where we can achieve or realize those dreams.
Definitely.
So just in recap here, believe in yourself, be resourceful, volunteer, journal, animate your dreams with a dream board, learn to say no, work hard, play hard, focus, laugh, and be humble.
Mm-hmm.
And like we always say, remember, do what you love.
And love what you do.
Thank you so much for joining us here today, and look forward to tuning back in next week, where we'll have a recap of our other guest that we had just a year ago on Star Worldwide Network's Be Dream Do Radio. Thank you so much.